you're here tonight as we join together in our Christmas Eve service. We ask that you stand and sing our opening carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, number 182.
Thank you. throughout the season of Advent, we've heard in person from many biblical characters from the Christmas story. This evening, we hear from Joseph and his perspective of the story.
Sometimes God is too generous to an old man like me. After all these years of hoping and believing and praying, he has allowed me to witness the coming of the Messiah to my very own wife. And he is the one, the Holy One incarnate. Others like the prophet Isaiah have only had the opportunity to hope, to believe that he would come. But we no longer only have hope, for Isaiah's words have come to pass. For unto us a child has come, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And I am a parent to that child. I must admit, I was quite hesitant at first. When Mary first told me she was with child, I thought to divorce her quietly, as this child will not be mine. But God sent me a vision. He told me to take Mary as my wife and to raise the child as my own. And I am so glad that I listened. When Mary gave birth tonight in that stable, a sensation so warm and profound overcame us all. It was as if the mystery of God's love for Bethlehem, for Mary, for the child, for me, for the entire world had settled upon us. The story of his birth will be told and retold. They will speak of the prophet Isaiah and his proclamation that a king would come to redeem Israel. They will tell of Mary's cousin Elizabeth and her recounting of how the babe inside her womb jumped for joy at the arrival of Mary's king. And the shepherds that came to the stable, they will tell their stories of this glorious night when the angels visited them in the fields, singing and praising God, announcing the arrival of the Messiah. I stand before you, humble and profoundly changed. This night has allowed hope and joy and love and peace to come into the world. God's long-expected promise has been fulfilled, all because a tiny child was born in a stable, who is Christ the Lord. And he's come to save us all.
As we join together this Christmas Eve to light our final Advent candle, the Christ candle, we sing our sung response found in your bulletin this evening.
Proclaimed a time when those who walked in the shadows would see a great light. a light will shine, and a child will be born to us.
God, our life and light, forgive us. And thank you for coming this night to us. Thank you for touching all heaven and earth with your splendor. In every corner of the world, shine this night with your peace. In every corner of our hearts, shine this night with your grace.
Our first scripture reading tonight comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
Thank you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 185, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing."
Celebrate this Christmas Eve night, we also celebrate the fact that Christ has come into our world and given us hope. That hope is something that we can spread amongst people by spreading the word of God throughout the ends of the earth. And the way that we do that is by taking your gifts and offerings tonight so that our church might be able to manifest that great message to the world. So as I invite our ushers to come forward, I ask you to give as you would know best in your heart, because Christ has come to you.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
required.
A couple of weeks ago, I found this little box wrapped in Christmas paper in my mailbox here at the church. What could it be, I wondered. I took it back to my office, unwrapped it, and this is what I found. It's a Precious Moments Christmas ornament. Isn't it just so precious? A little boy all dressed up with a bow tie, a big smile on his face. He's holding hands with this precious little girl in a pink dress, bow in her hair, and both are sitting inside this little Christmas wreath with a bow on it. Now, how sweet is that? Please, give me a moment. Now, I know this was an anonymous gift. It was clearly meant to be a gag. People around here have heard me talk how I'm not a big fan of Precious Moment figurines or greeting cards or wall hangings or really anything associated with the Precious Moments movement. And if you're a fan or you collect Precious Moments, please don't send me hate mail, because I'm only using this as an illustration tonight. And the illustration is this, that often people want to soften the image of Christmas, to clean it up and to make it something sweet and soft and kind and gentle. But actually, it's a story of great courage and tough faith that never loses hope. Never. Christmas is a story of hope, of trusting God even when, and especially when, things get hard and difficult and complicated. It's a story of having hope and walking with faith even when we're surrounded by dark and troublesome times. Thomas Aquinas once wrote, "Faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand." And when you think about it, the Christmas story is really a three-part story. It's a story of hope that's on its way, hope that is here, and hope that is yet to come. In our reading from Isaiah, the great prophet, he's facing enormous challenges. He appears at a critical moment in Israel's history. The northern kingdom has collapsed under the unrelenting attacks by Assyria. And in this very dark time, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the one who was to come. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," meaning God with us. Despite the wars, despite the pain, despite the suffering, despite the horrors of humanity, Isaiah's words were a prophecy of hope, a hope that is yet to come, of a Messiah, of a Savior who would come and deliver his people from their hopeless situation. Many hoped for a mighty military leader who would conquer Israel's enemies and usher in a time of freedom and prosperity. But God had a different plan in mind. Hope for all people, everywhere, of all time. Hope that came not by the power of the sword, but hope that came by the transformation of the human spirit. God knew that true change would not come from human force, but by changing human hearts and human spirits, one soul at a time. And tonight, we celebrate that hope is here. That 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, Jesus came and lived and pitched his tent among us, and that wasn't exactly a precious moment story either. Figuring out you're pregnant when you're young and a teenage girl and you know you're a virgin and hearing the gossip about you in your hometown, it's hard. Finding out that the woman who you were pledged to in marriage, and you know it wasn't you, she's pregnant, but you know it wasn't you. If it hadn't been for a dream, Joseph would have called it off. It had to be incredibly difficult. Traveling 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey while pregnant, not what you'd hoped for. Finding out when you're about to give birth that there's no room in the inn, that's not ideal. Giving birth in a stall or a cave with no doctor or nurse or midwife or drugs to numb the pain. Being visited by smelly shepherds who'd spent weeks out in the field without the benefit of a bath. Not a precious moment kind of scene. It's really a pretty gritty story, but it's real. Not real pretty. Rather, it's a story of God breaking into our world, not when everything is neat and clean and wonderful and kind, but when it's not. Christ is not born in some sterile delivery room where everything is under control, but in the messiness of the state and in the middle of our human untidiness. In other words, Christmas is not some fairy tale filled with precious moments and sugar plum fairies. The story of God's love coming to us in a very real way, his presence. Truth be told, that night was not soft and gentle, but hard and difficult and even painful. But on that night, the Word, God, became flesh. And God's hope became real in the darkness and the messiness of our world and in our lives. Isaiah foretold the hope that was to come. The story of Jesus is told the story that hope is here. That while we live in a time that is far from perfect, we celebrate that God is with us, walking with us, even in our darkest moments. That hope is here. That hope that comes from God's presence is in the present and is real in the now. Now, to be fair with you, this took me quite a while to figure out, this whole presence of hope thing. One of the requirements of the seminary I graduated from is that we needed to complete at least one unit of what's called CPE, or Clinical Pastoral Education. And I completed this requirement by serving on the staff of a large Episcopal medical center in Kansas City. And every day we would go from room to room, calling on patients, hearing their stories, often praying with them. But often I wondered if we actually played any part in the healing process. It was, after all, the doctors and surgeons who really healed, not the chaplains. And I began to question why we were even there. That was until I was wheeled into the emergency room late one night. I developed severe abdominal pains and was doubled over in agony. I was taken to the emergency room, directly to the surgical suite for a procedure to determine what exactly was going on. I was 24 years old, never thought of having any health issues. And then this, and man, I was frightened. The doctors and nurses were standing over me, sticking needles in my arm, and machines were flashing and bleeping. And even though I'd spent a lot of time in the hospital visiting patients, it's very different to be on the other side. But then, this present thing became very real. I suddenly got it. Father Beachy, who was the head of the chaplaincy program, walked into the surgical suite with his scrubs on. He was an amazing man of faith, but I was learning a great deal from him. And when Father Beachy walked through the door, I felt this strange sense of peace and comfort. He put his hand on mine and he offered a brief prayer as the nurses put me under. I can't explain it. I never understood this presence thing until I experienced it. The motto of the hospital was the presence of care. And up to that time, I just thought it was a marketing slogan. But it wasn't. What I experienced that night was at the heart of the hospital's DNA, to bring healing to the whole person, mind, body, and spirit, through the power of presence, through God's presence working through the presence of everyone on the hospital staff. The hope that we celebrate tonight is not about Christ coming and all the problems of this world disappearing. It's about God being with us no matter what we face. I've been a pastor for a very long time now.
I know I don't look it, but I have been.
And I've been with a lot of individuals and families when they're going through unbelievable tough stuff, like the death of a child or son lost in war, like the death of a spouse or facing a grim diagnosis. There have been divorces and addictions and car accidents and suicides and business failures and moral failures. Not much I haven't seen. And at times, I wish I had some kind of magic wand that would make everything better. But that's the stuff of fairy tales, not of faith. Faith is real. Faith brings us hope in the reality of all that darkness that comes into our world and into our lives. And so we celebrate tonight, not that God has fixed all the bent and broken places. Rather, we celebrate God's presence in the gift of the Christ child. We celebrate that hope is here. And we celebrate the promise of what is yet to come. The second advent, in which Christ returns and reconciles all things unto himself, where in the fullness of time, all of the hurt and all of the pains of this world will pass away and will finally be at peace with the Creator. Isaiah spoke of the hope that is to come. In the birth of Jesus, we celebrate the hope that is here. And we look to the future with the hope of God redeeming all of creation in the fullness of time. One of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, writes this. We are, God knows, a people who walk in darkness. If darkness is meant to convey a sense of sudden uncertainty, of being lost, of being afraid, if darkness suggests conflict between races and nations or individuals, if darkness depicts a world where we cannot see very well, then we know enough about the darkness. However, God in Christ does not run away from the darkness. God sets up residence right smack in the middle of the darkness. If you have light, then you're not scared or worried about the darkness. One of the very powerful symbols of this Christmas Eve service is the lighting of the candles. And as the room is darkened, it reminds us of the darkness of this world and the darkness which we often experience in our own lives. But there's one candle that remains lit, and that's the candle that represents Christ's presence in the here and in the now. And as each of us take light from this one single candle and pass it on, it's a powerful symbol of how God uses us and our presence to bring his light and his hope into this world. That's the good news of Christmas. Not that everything is wonderful and all of our problems have been solved, but that God is here, that hope is here. And because of that, we celebrate with a joy not found in circumstance, but in the joy that comes from the hope of God. Let's pray. Lord God, on this silent night, as we take light from the candle that represents your presence, we do so knowing hope is here. Hope not from our circumstances, but hope that comes from you. Help us to let that light shine in our hearts, and help us to pass that light unto those around us. We pray this in the name of the one we celebrate tonight, the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who lived and dwelled among us. Amen. As we now dim the lights and extinguish all of the Advent candles, our attention is drawn to the one single light, Christ. As we take light from the light of Christ and pass it on, the world is no longer a dark place because the presence of Christ is with us. now we celebrate the joy that Christ has brought into our lives and our world as we sing our final hymn, Joy of the World, number 179. Let's sing that together. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Christ.